Hi, my name is Daniel Wee, and as Senior Pastor of Church of the Savior, I'd like to invite you to join me now in listening and learning from God's Word.
Good morning. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's good to be back in Coos. And, you know, one of the things that, as I've been reflecting on this week, and all of us are in a very, hopefully, all of us are in a more reflective mood than ever before, over the loss of our founding father, is that, for the young people, you know, I have some grandchildren, nephews, nieces, and sometimes as we talk in the exchanges, you realize that actually many of them don't realize what it has taken for us to arrive where we are. You know, those of us who are nearer my age remember, right, in the old days, we have to carry water from the standpipes. Some people have, you know, had to use wells. Okay? And the streets were never safe. I remember at the age of 9, I had to run away from gangsters. I was never involved in gangsterism. But on the streets, you could get chased by people. You know, they want to beat you up for nothing. You want to go to the community center to play basketball. And again, the gangsters are in control. Yeah, anybody who wants to do business, the hawkers, the small-time businessmen, all have to pay protection money, you know, to the gangsters. So it's very unsafe, and opportunities were bleak. There was a lot of ill health. Some of you know that I had TB and all that kind of stuff. So it's a country that actually is a miracle, yeah? Especially after we left Malaysia and the British withdrew, and it was really God giving us this man, called Lee Kuan Yew, to take us to where we are today. And I praise God that over this week, as they replay the history of Singapore, the speeches of the first prime minister, so inspiring. My prayer is that the young people would have the opportunity to watch. In fact, someone said to me, if they had shown this maybe 10 years ago, some of these video clips of what the PM has gone through, what the country has gone through, this young lady said, I would have written a note of gratitude to the PM. And that really, really stirs my heart. You see, the scripture says in the last book of the New Old Testament, in Malachi chapter 4, maybe you can just flip to that. In Malachi chapter 4, verse 5, it says that, see, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. So as we watch the history, the recounting of the history of Singapore, we see how the heart of the founding father has been turned to the children. And all he cared about was the nation. All he cared about was how we, as young people in those days, what kind of a community, what kind of society, what kind of nation we will grow into. That was his passion. His heart was turned towards us. And in a similar sort of way, okay, many of us who are now spiritual leaders, God has turned our hearts towards the children. And some of you may know that when the Lord told me to step down as senior pastor, he gave me two mandates as senior pastor of Coos. The first was to hold up the supernatural before the body of Christ, because it's so easy for churches to fall back into human effort and human knowledge, human wisdom and tradition. The second was to invest into future generations. And some of you know, I've just launched the school of International Christian School of Liberal Arts and Sciences. It just started. In fact, yesterday, all our students came, 10 of them from China, and they want to see what a healing service is like. Okay, it started. Classes have already started. And it's going to be an international school. Hopefully, even young people from Singapore and other parts of Asia will come. So God has put into us this heart for the future generation, for the children. But where about the children, the hearts of the children turning to the fathers? The word of God says if this doesn't happen, there will be a curse upon the land. And we can see this in many countries. In fact, in our own society, when the heart of the father and the heart of the children are not conjoined together in the spirit of love, forgiveness, especially in the power of God, it's a curse. Curses in families. So when I watch the queues, yeah, the young people queuing up, watching the videos, you know, even in death, truly great people can impact their worlds. So even in the death of Lee Kuan Yew, yeah, there's an impact, I pray, is on the young people. As they watch the videos, as they see the replay of the history of Singapore, as they saw the struggles and the challenges that face this nation, and how we have come through to what we are today, as they pay respect, you know, and the outpouring of gratitude, the outpouring of admiration and affection for our deceased leader. And my prayer is that the heart of the children will be turned to the fathers. And they will rise up in them, yeah, the inspiration, they were inspired to righteous purpose and even to greatness for the glory of God and for the benefit of mankind. So to me, this is a very meaningful time, and we look forward even as we give thanks to the past. Hallelujah. So for those of us, it's not just for young people, but I trust that all of us would also take inspiration from this week and say, yes, we have a job to do. We have assignments from heaven. And we are not going to die before that. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to talk about healing, okay? Because towards that, that's the purpose. So I want to talk about approaching God for healing. Jubilee is about resetting, re-equalization. It's an amazing revelation from God that He doesn't want the poor to remain poor. And He doesn't want the rich to be getting richer and richer at the expense of the poor. So Jubilee is all about that. But it's also a resetting of lives. It's a resetting of the clearing of debts. It's a resetting of health. And and that's what Jubilee is all about. And so part of your Jubilee celebration in Coos, I've had the privilege of talking about one of my favorite subjects, is coming to God for healing. To start with, let's read together from James chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. Let's read aloud together. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other, so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So straight off from this scripture, we can see that God has entrusted healing not to the ministry of health, but is to the ministry of the church. Okay, the church is the place of healing. The command to elders is to be responsible for healing the sick. They are to model the approach to healing. And then he says here, we have to confess our sins to each other and pray for each other so that we may be healed. That is to all of us. So all of us have the responsibility to receive healing as well as to give healing. Healing belongs to the church. So how do we approach God? What must we put in place, if you like, the spiritual infrastructure for us to have a highway to receive God's healing in our lives? So first of all, we must be humble. This sounds very obvious, but what does it mean? What does it mean to be humble? Well, I have a few points to define what it means to be humble. The first one is that we must own up to our need. We must own up to our need. In fact, in my experience and observation after all these years, is that people who hide or are embarrassed are actually proud in heart. Okay, and they often don't get healed. You see, when you go around trying to give the impression you are well put together, you are all right, yeah, and I don't need other people, basically that's what we're saying, it's actually a manifestation of some form of pride. The Word of God says that we are to confess our sins to one another, which means we have to be real, we have to be authentic, yeah, we have to let our guards down and be known to each other. You see, coming to church often, right, we greet one another, say, how are you? And what we say? I'm fine. But inside, we could be hurting. We could be sick. We could be carrying all kinds of burdens and nobody knows. Well, as long as you do that, nobody can help us and we won't get healed. I have a friend, okay, who had a problem with obesity. So I went up to him and I said, you know, brother, I think you should do something about your weight. And he said, Pastor, don't worry. Some months ago, I went for a checkup. And my doctor says to me, I'm the healthiest fat man in Singapore. Wow! I say, who is your doctor? I would like to join the club. Okay? To be certified as a healthy fat man. Anyway, he didn't do anything about it. And one day, I was having my quiet time, having my devotion. I wasn't thinking of him, but his name popped up. Okay, and usually if God sort of drops a name into your head, you pray. So I just pray for him and say, God, what's about him? And the Lord indicated to me that I should get him to hospital quickly. Okay, so I call him up. I say, hey, you don't mind I tell you, I wasn't even thinking about you. I'm sorry. But your name came up and I believe the Lord wants you to go to hospital for a checkup quickly. He said, Pastor, thank you for your love, but I already told you, right? I'm the healthiest fat man in Singapore. So, he refused to go. I said, come on, my wife is a nurse. I tried to persuade him, you know, she knows a good cardiologist. We'll connect you with him. Let's go for a checkup. You know, nothing lost. You know, I'm okay. Yeah. So, I call up the wife. I say, hey, I got this word for him, and if he doesn't want to go, the wife said to me, Pastor, what can I do? Okay. This is called denial, you know. Denial is spelled D-E-N-I-A-L, right? Actually, it stands for don't even notice I am lying. And many of us are like this, right? We go around putting up this facade that I'm fine, but actually we're hurting inside and people ask us, we dare not tell. We don't want to share. We feel that, you know, we lose face. It's out of pride. So what happens? A few months later, this brother had a massive heart attack. He has to go for a triple bypass. Thankfully, he's still alive today. Okay? And I keep praying for him that he will continue to improve in health. So to be humble means we must acknowledge our need. Okay? Secondly, we need to own up to our sin. Okay? In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin is a big contribution to sickness. Okay, the sin of all kinds of things, all kinds of bad behavior, bad attitudes, yeah, a bad character, they can lead to ill health. However, I must give you that kind of a disclaimer. Not all sicknesses come from sin. Okay, but sin often brings sickness. So we need to understand that and we need to confess our sins. That's why the book of James says that we must confess our sins to one another. We need to own up to our failures. We need to own up to our character issues. We need to own up to our bad habits because God needs to forgive us spiritually even as He deals with us in our health. And then Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I want you to note that God's gift to us as we repent of our sins is eternal life. Now, eternal life is not just longevity. It's not living forever. It includes that, but it has to do with the quality of life. The word eternal has to do with God. That means we have the life of God. So, it's not just living forever, going to heaven and live forever, it is also the quality now. Heaven begins now. And as we give our lives, as we continue to seek God for cleansing and character molding, our life actually becomes better. The quality of our life improves because the Spirit of God works within us. So more than physical healing, we need to also receive spiritual healing. We need to be forgiven by God of all our wrongdoing. And we need to come into that place where He rules our life and helps us to begin to receive all that He has prepared for us. The third aspect of this, that is salvation, has to do with the holistic approach of God saving us. See, the word salvation is a very comprehensive word. It's not just getting saved from hell and enter into heaven by the skin of our teeth. It has to do with every aspect of our life. Okay, our health, our finances, our relationships, our marriages, everything that has to do. God is concerned about everything that's important to us because He wants us to be whole people. Okay? Then, and out of that, we have to now understand that if we're going to come to God for healing and to be humble, we must also own up to the need to change. See, healing can be miraculous, but the changes that need to be in place for us to receive the miracles need also to take place. When you go and see a medical doctor, the doctor tells you what to do, right? Take your medication so many times a day, change your lifestyle, do this, don't do that. And we, hopefully, take it seriously and we try to follow. In the same way, when we come to God, we got to take His word seriously. In fact, we need to take His word very seriously. Some of us are not even reading His word, but we need to take His word seriously. We need to hear what He's got to say about our life, our character, our behavior, and about spiritual things. And one of the most important things we need to take note of if we are dealing with healing for our sicknesses has to do with forgiveness. You know, sometimes I find that the church does not make enough of the seriousness of unforgiveness. It's a very serious one. Jesus says, if you don't forgive others, God won't forgive you. Yeah, if you don't forgive people, God will not even hear your prayer. So Jesus takes unforgiveness seriously. Someone has said that harboring bitterness and hatred is like drinking poison while waiting for the other person to die. And that's true. Okay? So we need to understand that. And the only person we can change is ourselves. We can't change anyone else. Okay, so somebody say, some people say, I can forgive, but I cannot forget. Well, if you can't forget, then you have to keep on forgiving. You need to keep on forgiving, exercise forgiving until the memory of the event, of the action done by the other people that has hurt you, get turned into something you can reflect on that will bring peace and blessing to yourself and glory to God. See, God can turn all evil for our good. That's God. Okay, whatever is intended for evil, sometimes it's our own failures too, right? But God can turn every intention of evil against us for our good and for His glory if we learn how to walk in His ways and process things according to His word. So we need to own up to change. I met a sister from Indonesia some years ago. She came from a very wealthy family, and of course, when her father died, he left a huge estate. And as a result of that, the family started quarreling over the estate. And there was an older brother in the family whom she claimed was trying to fight for the majority part, the majority share of the estate. And one day, as she woke up from sleep, she found she could not get out of bed. She was paralyzed. And of course, she was rushed to hospital. And in the hospital, she started praying to God. And the Lord began to speak to her. The Lord said to her something very clear and very simple. Forgive your brother. Forgive your brother. And she said to God, but he's the one in the wrong. He's the greedy one. He wants to take everything away from us. The God said, yes, But you are also wrong in harboring the bitterness. So she called her family together. All the brothers and sisters came to the hospital room, and because she was sick, they were willing to come. And in front of all of them, she asked the elder brother for forgiveness, for harboring the hatred and bitterness towards him. And after she's done that, she was instantly healed. So many of our sicknesses are due to bitterness of heart. So when you come to God for healing, you must be willing to forgive others. Then other sicknesses are caused by poor diet, stress, unhealthy lifestyle habits. For instance, all you meat eaters remember, cancer comes from the lack of roughage. Actually, cancers, the Ministry of Health issues statistics. It's an international figure. One in three persons will have an encounter with cancer. In fact, the statistics are getting worse. The ratio is getting worse. One in four will have what is called a chronic sickness, which means something that cannot be cured medically. Heart disease, diabetes, and people are suffering from these things younger and younger. I've seen younger people getting cancers today. Well, why is that so? We eat good food, we have plenty of whatever we need. Well, it's because of lifestyle, because we're not doing right. And there are, besides spiritual roots of sickness like bitterness, there are what are called physiological roots. And the physiological roots are dehydration and acid in the body. If you can deal with those two things, a lot of cancers are preventable, okay? Dementia is preventable. So we need to understand. And God, in His Word and through His creation, has provided resources for us to bring healing to ourselves. And as your body gets get fed properly with proper nutrition and getting rid of the stuff that brings damage to your body, according to God's Word, you respect the creation and the pattern and the design of God, then you will suffer less. Okay, so I want to encourage you, get rid of white sugar from your diet. No more sugars, okay? No more milk and cheese, dairy products. A little bit of butter is okay, but the dairy milk is meant for calves of cows, baby cows, not for human beings. When we grow up, we are fed. You are blessed with a healthy mother. You are fed mother's milk, and when you're weaned off mother's milk, that's enough. The latest research have shown that cow's milk causes inflammation in the body. Okay, there was a research done in China. For many, many years, Chinese women never got breast cancer until it began to open up to the West, and the Chinese women, Chinese don't like to eat cheese, right? But after that, they started eating all this stuff, started drinking milk. Breast cancers begin to come about. Okay, because of the hormones through the milk and all that kind of stuff. And the body really is lactose intolerant, generally. So these are some of the things you can, a few things, you can just do a few things and you have better health. And God has spoken in His Word, the things that we here put into creation, but we are not listening. Yeah? So we don't own the instructions and change. So as a result, I've seen people, I pray for them, powerful healings can take place almost instantly. But a few weeks later, a few months later, a few years later, the disease comes back. So when I check with them, it's simple. They didn't change their lifestyle. They keep on doing what they're doing. They won't listen to me after I minister to them. I say, now you must do this, to sustain your healing, to maintain your healing. You've got to do certain things. They don't do it. And so the sickness come back. And so then they kind of lost faith, and all kinds of other things come in. So the first thing is, as we become aware of how God can heal us, we must be willing to be humble. Own up to our need, own up to our sin, own up to the need to change. Secondly, when we come to God for healing, we must be persistent. In Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 7, read together with me. And Jesus told His disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God nor care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him night, day and night? Will he keep putting them off? See, Jesus is teaching something about God. He's teaching something about prayer. And he's saying that we must be persistent. Now, he's not describing God as a parallel of the unjust judge. He's not saying that God is like this unjust judge, very hard to approach, you know, very hard to talk to, and he's very unwilling to help us. Jesus uses two ways of teaching truth. The first is the parallel. Okay, he says the kingdom of God is like this. And then he uses what I call contrast. And everything is in pictures. Remember the last time I was here, I talked to you about the Hebrew language, the Hebrew mind, that the Hebrew culture communicates through pictures. Just like in Chinese, alright? Each Chinese character is a picture. We write in pictograms. The Hebrew language is the same. Each letter is a picture. Each word is almost like a comic strip. And the communication is always visually, okay, through pictures, through parables, through stories. So you can see, not just believe in truth and think truth and rationalize truth, you see truth. So Jesus is pointing out the huge contrast between God and this unjust judge. Right? This judge is obviously not a Singaporean judge. He's corrupt. He delayed in giving justice to this poor widow. Why? Maybe he's waiting for a bride. And the poor widow has no money to give him. So what does she do? She keep pestering him. She keep harassing him. Just giving him no peace. Maybe banging on the door. Waylaying him when he comes out on the street. Until he got so fed up. All right. So he's like, okay, I'll do something for you. You know, that kind of stuff. And Jesus is saying that God is not like this judge. What he's saying is, if this judge, this unjust and corrupt man, can be finally persuaded to do something for this poor widow, how much more will the God of justice and righteousness and goodness do for you if you would cry out to him, if you were be persistent? In other words, we are not to give up so easily. Okay? There are two ways in which people get healed. The first is instantly. And I've seen many of this. Okay, lay hands on people, get healed. The last person I prayed for before the service, after the second service, before this service began, was a lady called Judy. And she had this pain in her knees. She cannot walk without pain in her, for many, many, many years. And she had to wear knee guards all the time. And she was in excruciating pain. She said, the moment I take off these knee guards, when I lie down to sleep, it was in pain. I stand up in pain. She had to wear these knee guards, or else she'd be in pain. Many years. You know, she was instantly healed. Took off the knee guards and walked and walked and walked. She was healed. She was crying out there just now, as before the service began. So God has done this. But also healing can come through progressive means. It's a progressive approach. It takes time. Okay? It can occur over weeks, months, and even longer periods. After you prayed for, nothing may happen. But as you go back, as you begin to persist with God, things can start to happen. Okay, and this is a testimony that I received some time ago and share with you, and to encourage us in perseverance. I said, dear Pastor Derek, for many years I was having a festering sore on my right thumb. And 3 years ago, the sore got worse. Every night before I go to bed, and in the morning before I leave for school, I would spend some time bandaging my sore. It was painful and uncomfortable. Sometimes it oozes blood and pus. Being a right-hander, it hindered my writing, especially during exams. Friends and teachers, including my Sunday school teachers, have been aware of it and were filled with concern every time they saw it when the bandage came off. I tried all sorts of things. My parents brought me to the doctors and dermatologists with steroid creams, but to no avail. Sometime last year, when I went up for prayer during one of the services, you prayed for me. Okay, so you lay hands on me. You spent considerable time praying over me. Strangely, I could not control my tears. A sense of relief came over me then. I went home and gradually the sore dried up and began to heal. A few months later, it was completely healed and I no longer need to bandage my thumb. The pain and hindrance of so many years finally gone. Friends and teachers were also surprised that it healed so quickly and no more bandage on my thumb. Today, the new light pinkish skin can be seen. It helps me to remember the miracle God performed for me. Thank you for praying with me. Her name was Cheryl, and at the time of writing, she was 13 years old. So, you can be prayed for today, you can be prayed for tomorrow, maybe nothing happens immediately. But as you persevere, okay, as you continue to thank the Lord and lay hold of God's word, things are working in your system. The word has been spoken, and you need to believe it. So, don't give up, okay? The next thing is, Jesus says, He say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And from Luke chapter 11 verse 9, he's speaking about the perseverance. He's not reluctant to heal us. He's not slow in healing us. Okay. He's not testing us. But what's happening is as we press in, even though we don't get instant healing, as we press in, what happens is, we begin to examine our life. We are forced to take some time to reflect on what are some of the barriers to the healing in my life. It could be, who knows, it could be unforgiveness. Yeah, it could be some kind of trauma that I had. It could be some involvement in some occultic thing that's hindering the healing that I have not even known. Some lies that I believe that's kept me from the healing. So the persevering, the continuing to seek God with faith and trust enables us to take time to examine maybe some of the issues that we've been harboring. So out of that, God, we want to do more than just healing us physically. You understand what I'm saying? So we need to keep on. And I like the version that says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. There's a translation of the Bible that gives that version. So I remember some years ago when I was ministering in Africa, and in that country it was Ghana. It was poverty stricken. It was really undergoing tremendous unrest. And when I arrived there, the pastor said to me, "You know what happens was the mothers would bring their children to hospital." And the doctors would diagnose what the problem is. The doctors would just say to the mother, your child is suffering from this. Now take him home. Why? Because the hospital shelves are bare. They had no money for medication as a nation. So you can imagine, yeah, when you have a service, a healing service, oh, the crowds will come and they're desperate. So we pray for people, so many in need of healing. You can't even pray for one at a time. Just say a mass prayer, a simple prayer. Just lay your hands out and then just speak a prayer. And then you receive the power of God falling on people, people getting healed. But there were two particular cases that stand out for me. One was a lady who was going blind. Okay, she after the prayer, nothing happened to her. She went home and she had a dream that night. And in the dream, she saw a man dressed in white. At that time, I was dressed in an Anglican cassock. Okay. So she saw this man in white coming to her in a dream, stick two needles into her eyes and remove two clots of blood from her eyes. When she woke up in the morning, she started to tear profusely. She washed her face, opened her Bible and read perfectly for the first time after a long time. So she came back to the meeting the next day to testify. Another lady was in her early 20s, and she testified how when she was 11 years old, her mother hit her with a stool. And as a result of that, she went dumb. Okay, so for more than 10 years, she could not speak. Came to the meeting after the prayer, nothing happened to her there. When she arrived back at the village, she started shouting for the first time after many years. Okay, she began to speak again. And of course, you can imagine the commotion and the praise that went up to heaven as a result of that healing. So nothing may happen immediately because God may be doing something else. But as the faith is building up in the person, as they continue to press into God, the breakthrough can come all of a sudden. So ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking. Knock, keep on knocking. The third thing about approaching God for healing is that we must be forceful. And this is an important scripture. Okay, let's read together Matthew 11, verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. This is a powerful principle that we need to understand. Nothing in life that's worth doing can be done passively. Do you understand? Nothing in life that's worth doing can be done without effort. So the kingdom of God, which means everything that pertains to heaven. Jesus didn't die just to take us to heaven, you know. Jesus died to bring heaven down. He came to bring, he taught us to pray, remember? Your kingdom come, your will be done, where? On earth. So he taught us to pray heaven down. We're not to pray. So many of us are praying about going to heaven. In fact, so many of us are so heavenly minded, we have no earthly use. We are to pray heaven down. We are to live heaven out here. The moment you've given your life to Jesus Christ, heaven has come into you. And we carry the realities of the kingdom of heaven. And we have to release them wherever we go. We're the treasure barriers, the bearers of heaven. So we have to be, then. But the way to enter into that, the way to experience that is to be forceful. We cannot be passive about the things of the supernatural. We cannot be passive about the ways of God. We've got to rise up and lay hold of them. The Bible confirms about the danger of passivity. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 9. One who is slack in his work, read together, is brother to one who destroys. Can you catch this picture? If you are slack in your work, which is idle or slothful, you are lazy, you are, the word of God says, it's like somebody is a partner of the one who's destroying. So you can say, oh, I just do my little part and I just sit back and relax and it's not my responsibility. When you begin to develop this kind of attitude, the word of God says you are accomplice to the people who are destroying. So we need to rise up and get out of passivity and say, God, I want to be active. I want to be forceful. I have to have, God is saying that we need to have some kind of aggressiveness in our spirit to lay hold of what God has for us. It doesn't come to passivity. You know, some people say, oh, if tongues is so important, make me speak in tongue, law, you know. Yeah, if healing is so important, make me be able to heal the sick, law, you know. It's a kind of passivity that is so common in churches. Many Christians are just passive. They come to church, sit in a comfortable pew, and then they go home, nothing changes. David was saying that I shared about how the church is often like a soccer match. Yeah, in a soccer match, you have 22 guys on the field who are working their guts out desperately in need of rest. And you have 22,000 in the stands telling those people what to do, shouting at them, criticizing at them, 22,000 sitting comfortably, desperately in need of exercise. Church is something often like that. But actually, sometimes I look at some passive Christians, it's like, they're not just sitting on the stands, they're like that soccer ball on the field. If you don't kick it, it doesn't move. So the kingdom of God can only be apprehended. The things of the kingdom demands aggressiveness, a passion. If it's good, if it's real, then you cannot but strive to attain it. Even in receiving it, there need to be a passion, even a sense of desperation. In fact, medical doctors, okay, the Amplified version of this is very interesting. Okay, it says, he who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. I like this because it's very loud, Amplified version. Yeah? He who does not use his endeavors to heal himself is brother to him who commits suicide. So if you don't take care of yourself, you don't watch out for your own health, you're like committing suicide. You're the same as the guy who's committing suicide. In fact, doctors like feisty patients who awakens, who stirs up, undergirds their will to live through faith in God, trust in His word, and cooperate with the doctor. So why not all Western medicine is good? It's not exact science, but you know, they like this. In fact, the best medical treatment cannot cure a person or help a person if they have lost their will to live. So we need to be aggressive against sickness. And there may be issues that relate to even spiritual issues, traumas, occult involvement in the past. They need to surface lies that we have believed. We need to overcome them. So a lively aggressiveness in claiming and taking possession of the promises that are ours as children of God. We must have an attitude of authority and aggressiveness whenever we deal with the powers of darkness. We're not talking about violence, okay? We're talking about a passion, a passionate aggressiveness against things that are wrong, especially within ourselves. In fact, in 2 Corinthians, okay, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says that we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 87% of all illnesses begin in the mind. This is the latest brain research I've shown. So 87% of all illnesses are psychosomatic in origin. And it starts with the mind. And the Word of God has already told us we must demolish arguments and pretensions against the knowledge of God. And we must take our thoughts captive. In other words, we can control our thoughts. You know, sometimes people tell me, Pastor, I can't seem to control my thoughts. That's a lie. That's a lie that people have believed. You can. Whatever you want to think, you can think. So many young men today are caught up in the bondage of pornography. You know? And the reason is they say they can't control their minds. That's not true. You can. The Word of God says we are to demolish those thoughts. We can control our thinking. We can choose to think whatever we want to think. And God wants us to think along His Word. Okay, so don't let your imagination run away with you. Don't give the conclusions of specialists and bad reports, although they want to help us, more credence than the promises of God. Cut off every thought of defeat and hopelessness. Sometimes we pray for people and they say, oh, the doctor said I only 6 months to live. We must reject that straight away. You know, sometimes good as medical professionals are, they sometimes exercise an undue authority over people's lives. And in fact, medical science is not an exact science. And that's why the doctors will test this, and then they say, okay, take this, 1 week later, come and see me again. It doesn't work, they change, right? So, it's not an exact science. Diagnosis has not come to the stage where they can tell you exactly what is happening within us either. So we need to know that. We respect them, we honor them, but we cannot just take their, so because it can become like a curse. And we need to break those things. Cut off every thought of defeat and hopelessness from you so that you can come out and take some measure against the sickness. Okay, the Bible says, death and life in Proverbs 18:21 are in the power of the tongue. So whatever you say, it can begin to take place in your life. So we need to choose to speak life. We need to speak God's word. We need to read the Bible aloud to ourselves. We need to declare the word of God. We need to speak that which God has promised. The scriptures are full. The Bible is full of what are called healing scriptures. Okay, let me show you a couple of them. In Psalm 103, verses 1 and 3, it says, praise the Lord, O my soul. read it together. All my inmost being, praise His holy name, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. So the psalmist says, I will speak to my soul, I will arouse my soul, which includes your emotions and your mind and your will, to declare the praises of God, who forgives my sins and heals all my diseases. So awaken your whatever your emotions is, whatever you're feeling depressed, you're feeling under the weather, you're feeling your pain, stir up your emotions to declare the word of God, to declare the praises of God. Then Psalm 118, verses 17 to 18. Read together. I will not die, but live, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but has not given me over to death. One time I had a tennis partner. One day we were playing tennis. And in the middle of the court, he started bleeding, okay, from his bowels. So rushed to hospital, found that he had colon cancer. And then I was praying for him, and the Lord gave me this scripture. I went to see him in hospital. I said, I declared over him, you will live and not die, and will proclaim what the Lord has done. And today, I'm glad to say he's still alive, over 40 years ago. So the word of God, we need to take God's word more seriously than anything else in our life. I'm going to close with this testimony. I had the privilege of preaching in different churches, and some weeks ago I was in a church where the pastor shared with me a fantastic testimony about his son. His son, called Samuel, was about 4 years old. They started noticing something wrong about him. First of all, he would scream all the time. Okay, he would scream everywhere he goes, he would just scream. So of course they took him for checkup and found that he was deaf. He was stone deaf. Then they found out that he had autism. And then he has dyslexia. He can't read. So this poor kid cannot communicate. The only way is to scream. Right? He can't make his needs known. So he just scream. Now can you imagine what the parents are going through? Everywhere they go, that the kid will be screaming. In church, the kid will be screaming. They really don't want to. They went to all kinds of specialists and therapists, and every one of them, after thorough examination, said to them, we're afraid we can't do anything for your son. Okay? Please, just do the best you can. So you can imagine. But the parents, this pastor friend of mine, did not give up. He and his wife, what they did was every morning and every evening, they would lay hands on their son. And while the son was asleep, they would lay hands on him and they would speak these healing scriptures. Day and night, they would speak these healing scriptures into him. They did not give up. They would not accept the prognosis of all these specialists. When the child was 8 years old, they suddenly realized he was beginning to hear. They could talk to him and he could begin to respond. Okay? And then when he could begin to hear, they started reading more scriptures to him. So by the time Samuel was 10 years old, he had read the Bible many times over. He could memorize scripture, he could speak scriptures. Amazing. Okay? Today, he's doing his civil engineering degree. And schools and CNA have actually done a documentary on his healing. But so the family was interviewed and he gave his testimony. The mother gave her testimony, but they cut out all the God stuff. Which is so sad, right? But schools, parents, organizations are calling him to testify. This boy goes all over the place testifying of what the Lord has done for him in public places, giving hope to parents and young people who are having needs and struggles in their life. And he was sharing how one day he was taking a very important exam. I can't remember what exam it was. It was a multiple question exam and he was stuck. Okay, and he had 5 minutes to finish the last 20 questions. And he just prayed. Okay, and within 5 minutes, he got all the questions answered and they were all correct. So this boy is amazing. He's going to turn out to be a great prophet, like Samuel in the Bible. Hallelujah. So there you are. Okay, so we need to, if we come to God for healing, what must we have? Attitudes. Number one, we must be humble. Right? Number two, we must be persistent. And we must take care of ourselves, but we must also be persistent. And number three, we must be forceful. That is an aggression. We must not give up. The word of God is powerful. We have a God whose name is Yahweh Rapha, the Lord, your healer. And we will glorify Him. Okay? So let's stand together. We're going to say a prayer together. We're going to say a prayer and we're going to make a declaration against sickness, against Satan. First of all, I want you to forgive people. Now, forgiveness must be precise. It cannot be just a general thing. You need to identify the people you need to forgive. And then you need to forgive them for specific things that hurt you. So hold out your hands, bring those people to the Lord. If you have a long list, just do the top three, okay? Let's hold our hands. Say after me, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now name the people. I want you to verbalize the names. So and so, so and so. I forgive you. Verbalize it. Let me speak it out. Whisper it if you don't want others to hear you. I forgive you. Now, to the person who has really hurt you bad, whom you have the greatest difficulty in forgiving, say this. To the extent. You want to say it? To the extent. I want God to bless me. I bless you. To the extent. I want God to prosper me. I speak prosperity to you. To the extent I want health from God, I speak health to you. Father, thank you for showing me how to remove the poison of bitterness from my life, from my emotions, from my memories, from my body. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for healing me. In Jesus' name. Now, say this, continue with this. Say, Father, I come as your child in need of your grace and mercy. I confess my sins and acknowledge my need. As I receive your forgiveness, so I forgive everyone who has offended me. Now I stand on the promises of your word. Now be strong, okay? Be strong when you say this. Satan, I refuse to accept this disease in my body. In Jesus' name, I command this affliction to flee. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will not tolerate this attack of the enemy against my body. Disease has no right or authority to exist in my body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. I have been healed by the stripes, by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, I rebuke this sickness. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. All right, sit down, please. I'm going to ask the people in the church, as you know, who have words to share. So words of knowledge, words of healing, words of prophecy. So come quickly. Okay. All right. Actually, Blanca has a testimony as well. So maybe she can even share the testimony of when these words of knowledge goes out, what can happen. Okay. Let's share that quickly. You got it?
Thank you, Pastor Derek. I'll just run through a faith testimony quickly. In the month of October last year, there was this sister named Jenny Sui. She responded to the word of knowledge about a 47-year-old sister who has tormenting headache over the crown of her head. So, to my surprise, at the end of the service, three 47-year-old sisters responded to the word of knowledge. And Jenny Sui testified after praying for her, the headache is completely gone for the last 5 to 6 months. And she was often tormented with the headache, even every Sunday when she comes to the house of the Lord, worshipping the Lord and going, sitting through the sermon. She used to approach TCM and GP for help, but lo and behold, it didn't work. So we want to give glory to God for His faithfulness. Indeed, He is the Lord who is the God who heals, according to Exodus 15:26. Whenever the Lord gives a word of knowledge, He's destined to heal. And if God can use a simple, ordinary vessel like me, who is available, certainly God can use every one of you. Thank you.
Yeah, go ahead, Michelle.
So I'll just run through the few words of knowledge quickly. This is a 28-year-old sister, experienced tension, headache, specifically over the crown of your head, on and off. And then the next word, 19-year-old brother and a 39-year-old brother both suffered from lymph node condition. And the 39-year-old brother is named Kenneth. Next word, two sisters aged 23 and 33, both experienced strain over the right side of your neck. Last but not least, 55-year-old brother suffered from cardiovascular condition. Thank you.
I have three conditions. One is date of birth for 7th November. This person have stomach discomfort for quite a while. Second word, some people suffered from stiff neck for 2 months. And the third word is infection in the right ear that causes hearing.
I have three words. One is I see a vision of a dark angel. Some people are tormented with spirits, particularly fear. Second word is unworthy, feeling of unworthiness, particularly unworthy to come before the Lord. The Lord loves you. The Lord cares very much for you. And you just need to come before Him. The third one is that tumor in the brain. So people with tumor in the brain, you come forward for prayer.
I have one word. I was given a picture, indicated a blocked blood vessels. Okay, I think you know you surround yourself with the kind of food you eat. Okay,
there's three words. I saw the word. There's a medical report. Somebody have a heart disease, or if somebody you know, just come forward. And then also the ear. Somebody have a ringing ear, ringing for quite some time, and also one part of the ear could be another person you cannot hear clearly. And another ear is, there is a kind of a stickiness, all this secretion come out from your ear, just come forward. Another one is eczema, someone have skin problem. Any skin problem, just come forward. I believe the Lord's going to touch you.
Mm. Okay, thank you, Lord. Okay, we want to respond to those words. If you can identify any of those things, or if they're just even very close to what you have, I want to encourage you to take it. Okay, God is not fussy, right? And just come, okay? Just come quickly. Let's stand, and Eunice is going to lead us in worship. As you respond to the Lord, open your heart to Him. At the earlier service, there was a word about somebody who suffered loss, a loss of I think relatives or something. And there was a lady who brought out her Filipino maid, who over the last 2 months lost all her children in the Philippines. They all died to different things. To all her children, it was so sad. Okay, she really desperately needed the comfort and the presence of God. So there was this word of loss, and I think it needs to be repeated here. That here there's maybe more than one person, you have suffered some kind of loss of a loved one, and there's a grief that's weighing you down, that's causing you not to be able to connect with God, and you're in constant pain and discouragement. God wants to take that from you. Okay, come. Let's just come.
Let's stand with one another and call on the Lord.
You hold my every moment. You calm my raging seas. You walk with me through fire and heal all my disease.
Violence. The violence was taken by force. By force.
God is great indeed. Amen. And even as some of them continue to pray, you know, we do want to thank God because God can heal all of us. So any of you, you don't have to wait till healing services or weekends to have God heal you. And anytime you can come to God, you know, you can pray to Him. God is a God who loves us and knows our needs wherever we are. Okay? Now, even as we close in prayer, you know, we do want to thank Pastor Derek as well, who has brought a word of ministry and encouragement to all of us. You know, and to pray that, you know, God will continue to use him. You know, even as he carries out what God calls him to do. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that you're doing this work in our midst. Lord, we know that you hear our prayer. You are not like the unjust judge. You are a good God. You are a father to us. So, Father, we want to pray, Lord, that all these requests that have gone up to you today, you will hear and you will answer, Lord, the call and the cry of your children, Lord. Father, we thank you for Pastor Derek as well. Lord, may you bless him, continue to use him, even as he ministers, he brings this, you know, holds up this banner of the supernatural in Singapore, Lord. Use him and keep him in good health and good strength, Lord. Now, Lord, even as we go from this place, we ask for your blessing to be upon all of us. We pray that, you know, we will experience the true meaning of Jubilee, Lord, that our hearts and our souls and our bodies will be set free to worship you. So, Father, now as we go from this place, may we go in the wholeness, in shalom, in the peace of God. In the name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen.